This afternoon, I rested a while. Do you like to do that?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. But I rested a little while, and then I thought, well, I wonder what's going on. So I flipped it on Fox News. And I thought, well, I'd just see what was going on. Maybe I'd get something from Washington out there, what was going on. And they had a special on, and it was the valor of those who are serving in Iraq. And I watched that for about 45 minutes, missed about the first 15 minutes of it, just one after another. They showed young men over there, and even some young lady, one of the young ladies won a medal. And just one after another, the valor and courage and heroism of these soldiers in Iraq. I sat there, and I'm just going to be truthful. I sat there, and just tears flowed from my eyes on every one of them. And I said, this is the real story. This is the real story. And I was amazed. And in fact, I didn't know this, but there's been two Medal of Honor awards given. That's the highest award that can be given. Two in Iraq. It's amazing. One of them was given to a young soldier that some way, I can't remember the whole story, all right? But anyway, they came up on this firefight, and somebody jumped to him and tried to choke him. And anyway, he kind of got loose, and they threw a live grenade, and there was a bunch of the soldiers around. And he grabbed his helmet off, threw it over the grenade. And of course, was massively injured, and 8 days later, he died. But they gave him the Congressional Medal of Honor. And I said to Donna, I said, this ought to be on every night so that Americans can see what's going on.
Right.
These are brave soldiers. And it's just so aggravating, you know. But on this Memorial Day, I just want to say thank you to all the people here in this church that served in the services of our country. And well, thank you for that. And I'm very grateful and thankful for each and every one that has served, and those that are serving now. They're facing terrible dangers and put their life on the line. And we've got a lot of brave soldiers over there. And the interesting thing about it was there was not one of them in that thing they was doing. Not a one of them that said, you know, he thought he deserved that medal. He said, no, you know what I was doing? I was just doing what I'm supposed to do. I was just being a soldier. That's what soldiers do. They all were that way. Amen? My thought went back and I said, I wish we Christians would think that way. And maybe some do. I'm just saying, but don't you think that would be a good thing if we Christians would say, you know, that's just what we do. We get out there on a battle line, and we just fight the battles and do what we're supposed to do and do our best to win people to Christ and be a witness for the Lord and be a Christian and be a testimony for the Lord. And we just do that every day. That's just what we do. Why? Because we're God's children. That's what we do. Up at Aaron's graduation, Dr. Scott spoke for a little while, and his heart is so burdened because he said, and one of the things he said was, we're losing ground. Fundamentalism is losing ground. Most people don't realize it, but we're losing ground. We need so many churches to be started. We need so many young men to answer the call to preach the gospel. We get them here and there, get one here, one there, and we're very grateful for them, very thankful for them, but they ought to be more. There ought to be more. We're losing ground. We're losing the battle. See, he gets all around the country. He knows what's going on. And we've got to do something about it. I'm going to preach a message tonight, which I've entitled Asking for the Old Paths. Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Might just stop there a moment and just indicate that this is a message to Israel. God is speaking to Israel. And did you hear what he said? He said they won't hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. They take no delight in the word of God. It means nothing to them. They hear it. Over in Ezekiel says they hear it, but they do it not. Amen? That's what he was saying to Israel. You know, they hear it. It's even a delight to them to hear it, but they do not do it. He said, therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. See, that's what it says, because that they have no delight in the word of God. He says, therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days. Their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. Did you hear that? He said, even the prophet, even the priest, who's supposed to be the spiritual leaders, he said, are dealing falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. What they were doing was giving them, he said, they've healed, he said, also the hurt of my daughter of my people, slightly. They was giving them false hope. They would say, oh, everything's all right. You hear a lot of that today. Everything's okay. You know, it'll be okay down the road. Well, no, it won't. See, we're just saying there's going to be peace when there is no peace. They have healed, verse 15, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. The Lord said to Israel, he said, you know what? They commit abominations. Were they ashamed of it? Oh, no. Absolutely. They don't even blush about it. Didn't care. He says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? God said, the old paths are the good ways. And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, listen to this, we will not walk therein. We will not do it. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Nope, we're not going to do it. We're not going to listen. We're not going to hear. Therefore, hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. You notice there, God said he's going to bring judgment. Because why? They wouldn't hear the word of God. They wouldn't hear his law. They rejected it. They said, I'm not going to walk in the old paths. I'm not going to do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for the scripture, the word of God. I ask you to help us tonight to just bring forth the message you've given us. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement. Also, Lord, help us to be a prophet of warning to all of us. Lord, this is serious business. Our country, Lord, is in dire need of a great revival to turn us back to you. Help us to get back to the old paths where we belong, where we'll find rest for our souls. We'll thank you for it in the lovely, wonderful name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe if we would look and maybe try to find a word that would describe our generation, our time, our nation, it might be unrest would be a good word. Politically, industrially, morally, religiously, everything is in a mess. Now, you may look at it and say, Brother Ross, I'm doing all right, and I believe most of the folks in this church is doing all right, but I'm talking about as a nation. I'm talking about as a country. We are really in a mess. And I might even say to us, we don't want to get to that place where we think we're really doing all right. Because I think we've got some things we need to get back closer to God with. And I'm saying all of us. You understand what I'm saying? You see, we need to get back to the old paths of the Bible. You see, the reason there's unrest is because the Bible has been forsaken. Listen, I've preached and pastored for 37, going on 38 years. I've seen a lot of things. You that's been around a while, you've seen a lot of things too. But today, most of the time, multitudes of folks say they believe the Bible. If you would ask most that claim to be a Christian, they say we believe the Bible. Sure, we believe the Bible. It's God's word. We believe it. But when it comes to putting it into practice, into their lives, it doesn't happen. You see, you and I get enough preaching to straighten anybody out. Sunday mornings, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You imagine that's at least 200 sermons a year. Amen. Then revival meetings, and if you go to conferences and you go other places, you can add a lot more sermons on top of that. We get enough to keep us straight. See, the problem is it's not more preaching that we need, although we need all of that preaching, but we need application. We need to begin to apply what's being preached to our lives. Amen? In other words, let's get back to the old paths. The Bible tells us that we're living in the day of apostasy because the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that perilous times will come, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's perilous times. It's difficult times. And I don't know if most of us really realize and understand where we really are today. I don't know how you feel. I don't know what you think. But we're in perilous times today. There's a large form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So what I want to do tonight is just take a little time and look at some of the old paths that I believe we need to get back to. I believe the first one is the old path of conversion, the old path of true salvation. See, Brother Ross, why do we need to get back with that? Because I think there's a lot of places that's being preached. It's not the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, there's been much turning from the pure gospel, the true gospel, the fact that men are sinners because of the fall back in the Garden of Eden, and you can't do anything about it. You're a sinner, you're lost, and Christ is the only one that can do anything about it. His blood is the only thing that'll wash sin away. And we need to get back to preaching that. Sister Eileen this morning came back to the door, and she had dealt with this young lady that came forward, and I might share that with you. She dealt with her. And she said, Pastor, she said, I just could not get her. In fact, she said she was indignant when I asked her if she was a sinner. She said, why, no. Now, I mean, we're not blaming this little girl. We're not blaming her. She needs taught and help. But I want to tell you something, folks. If there's no sin, there's no need of salvation. If you don't believe you're a sinner, you can't get saved. I mean, you understand that. You know that. And so anyway, and so she, of course, prayed with her and helped her the best she could and prayed with her and sent her back to the seat. And that's exactly what she should have done. Exactly. Does no good to sign a card, check a box, and say she came forward, so surely she got saved. No, she didn't. She didn't get saved. She didn't know she was a sinner. I'm telling you, we need to get back to the old fashioned. I'm not saying we don't do that here, but I'm saying as a whole in Christianity today, get back to the old fashioned salvation, conversion, true conversion, where the Holy Spirit of God deals with their heart and they get convicted of sin and they realize they need a Savior. See, we need to get back to that, you see, and that the redemption is by the blood of Jesus. It took his shed blood to wash away our sins. You're here, you're born again. You know that. I mean, you understand that. I'm just telling you some things we need to get back to. We need to, as a whole in this nation, get back to realizing sinners are sinners and they need washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or they'll not be saved. Amen. Also, we need to get back to realizing there's a regeneration by the Holy Spirit of God that gives us life, borns us again, and brings life, new life. And that's what he does. He comes in to live. I've said that so many times, but you know, if the Holy Spirit of God is in us, living in us, there's no doubt about it. He's going to condemn sin. We may quench his spirit, we may do those things, but I want to tell you, he's not going to put up with sin in our life without knocking on our door. I can testify to the fact that since I was saved in 1966, that God has knocked on my door a lot of times. I don't know about you. He said to me, this is not right. I don't want you doing this. I want you to straighten this up. I want you to straighten your life up. Holy Spirit speaking to us. Amen. That's what he does. He convicts us, you see. And then we need to emphasize sin. It's right and proper to call out sin and emphasize it in preaching and call sin for what it is. Amen. We talk about abortion, we talk about all these things, sodomy and all those things, and right we well we should. But there's also gossip that should be emphasized, just as wicked as abortion. You say, how is that, Brother Ross? Because it's killing reputations. Sure. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You see, and the Holy Spirit of God won't honor that. No, no, no. I tell you, just need to learn. I need to learn. We just need to put a zipper on this thing. Yeah. Did you ever notice it's the only part of the body that has a set of bars and also a zipper? God's trying to keep that thing shut to help us. Amen? Sure he is. And I'm just saying we need to emphasize sin. We need to call out sin so people will know. People will know that they're sinners and they're lost. We need to emphasize that, you see. We also need to emphasize God's wrath against sin. God hates sin. You say, Brother Ross, he loves the sinner. I know he does. But he's angry, the Bible says, with a sinner every day. We need to emphasize that when sin is in our life, it separates us from the true and living God, either for salvation or fellowship with God. When sin is there, God can't fellowship with his children. Amen? See, we need to get back to those old paths. Get back to preaching those old paths and believing them and applying them to our life. Amen? See, we need to do that. So there needs to be repentance. I still remember I was sitting and driving down the road in my car, and Vernon McGee was on. And I was listening to Vernon McGee. I don't know if you ever heard Vernon McGee or not, but I have. I used to listen to him on the radio. And he was really ramping and raving. And he said, them alders in your church, he said, they're not for laughing. He said, they're for repentance. He said, you come to an alder in the church, they're not for just laughing and carrying on. I've seen people do that at all. That's not what it's for. Come to an altar, it's for old time repentance. Come to the altar and get right with God. Don't you ever have to come to the altar? I do. I do. I have to come to the altar once in a while and tell God I'm sorry and you know, quicken this old heart that's growing hard and I need it softened and helped. You don't ever do that, huh? Amen. I do. So maybe you're better than me. I don't know. You don't need it like I do, but I need it. Amen. Amen. See, we need to emphasize those things, you see. And Vernon McGee said, that's not what that altar's for. He said, it's for tears and repentance and calling out to God. And I just sat there in my car and said, amen, Brother McGee. Amen. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you. That's right. Amen. Sure. See, men are told to turn over a new leaf and follow Jesus, but that is an inadequate message. The Word of God tells us in Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now this preacher knows, been preaching long enough, he knows that no work you and I can do will ever get us right with God. I know that. You don't get saved by anything you do, any good thing you do. You get saved by faith in Christ. Amen, and him alone. But there should be some things happen after we get saved. Amen. There should be some turning from the old paths of sin unto the old paths of righteousness. Bible. Amen. And then not only that, secondly, the old path of belief in the whole Bible as the inspired Word of God. I want to tell you, we need to get back there. You say, well, Brother Ross, you mean we've gotten away from that? All churches all over this land. There's churches all over this land that don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. All of it is the Word of God. Amen. The Bible is the Word of God. Amen. It's the inspired Word of God. Amen. And we need to get back to that old-fashioned path of believing. You see, the Bible is the Word of God. See, people get convinced by philosophers, by scientists, by universities, by colleges, that this is just a book. That's why we encourage you. I'd stay away from those. And I know some people can go and make it through, but I'd stay away from those old universities that have old professors that don't love God, don't believe that God is true and real, you know, because they'll shake your faith if you don't be careful. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Because the Bible is the Word of God. See? Absolutely is the Word of God. But yet it's also found out in religious circles. You've got to be careful. There's some denominations right now in America that's turning from the fact, and they'll tell you that the Bible is not all the Word of God. The Bible contains the Word of God. Well, what part is it? What does it contain? What part's the Word of God and what is it? No, the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. I can't remember who it was. Somewhere along the line I was talking to somebody about this, and he said, well, this, you know, I don't hardly believe this or that. And I said, do you believe John 3:16? I said, why do you believe that? He said, oh, yeah, that's the way you get saved. He said, I believe that. And I said, well, what's the difference between John 3:16 and Jeremiah 6:6 or whatever? What's the difference? It's all the Word of God. Amen. It's all God's Word. You and I may not understand it all, but it's God's Word. Amen. So we need to get back to that old-fashioned believing, you see, that the Bible is the Word of God. But you find that also in pulpits today. They don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? You see, we've got to get back to the old paths. The Bible is the Word of God. Period. Whatever God says is right, is true. Not what we say, but what God says is right and true, you see. See, instead of God's revelation, man wants to substitute his own reasoning. Whatever is right in their eye, what seems right in their eye. But no, it's the Bible. It's what the Bible says is the Word of God. And God says we need to come back to the old paths. Why? So you can find rest for your soul. A lot of unrest. But we need the rest of God. And the way you get God's rest is come back to the Bible. See, the reason we're in such a mess in America is because we went away from the Bible. We walked away because that's where you find rest and peace. How many times have you sat down with your Bible and just read it and something come along and God just reached down and comforted your heart and helped you, encouraged you? That's where you find peace and rest. It's through His Word. Amen? Sure. Not only that, we need to get back to the old paths of modesty and purity and separation from evil. You see, nowadays folk don't mind doing wrong. People don't want any standards. Oh, Brother Ross, you're too rigid. You've got too many standards. No. The Bible has them. See, we don't want what the Bible says. We want to do what's right in our own eyes. That's what we want to do. Understand? See, we need to get back to modesty and purity and separation from evil, you see. We need families to get back to just living for God, loving God, believing the Bible. Amen. Wife treat her husband right, love her husband. Husband treats his wife right and loves his wife. Just get back to that. God gave her to you. God gave him to you. That's the way it is. Will there be troubles along? Oh, sure. You'll have some troubles you have to work out, all those things. But God gave you that husband. God gave you that wife. Just love her. Love him. Amen. Get the family. See back, and we'll get our churches more stronger. Amen. Sure. See all of this mess. I still remember back when I worked at Anaconda Aluminum Company. That's where I was at when I got saved. And 26 years old when I got saved. 4 late years later, God called me to preach. But I was working there, and there was some little smart aleck there. And he was a smart aleck. He's always going around showing these dirty pictures. And I want you to understand that I'm a little more graceful than I was then. He come up to the machine that I was running. I was a roller, and I was running a rolling machine. And he'd come up behind me, and he'd stick these dirty pictures. See, this is after I got saved. Stick these dirty pictures right in my face. He done that the second time. And I turned around to him, and I just grabbed him by the shirt collar. I said, you ever stuff a picture in me? I said, again, in front of my face, you see that pit? That's where you're going. And I said to him, I'm not kidding. Dirty pictures. Even back then, I mean, that's been multitudes of years ago. Now can you imagine what's out there now? Hundreds of thousands, millions of these magazines, pornography magazines. Internet is filled with it. You say, how do you know? I don't have the internet. I couldn't know. I'm just telling what everybody says. I don't have the internet. Don't want it. But stay off of that junk. You understand what I mean? David said he would set no wicked thing before his eyes. Now I'm telling you, I'm saying to you, keep that stuff in front of your eyes. You moms and dads, you'd be better off to pull the plug on the internet. You don't need that. If your kids is getting in on that, pull the plug on it and throw it out the window. Amen. Throw it in the dumpster somewhere, because it's ruining lives. And the young people, many of the young people are getting hooked on it. It'll destroy them. Do you understand? It'll destroy them. So we need to get back to the old paths, you see, of modesty and purity, you see. A lax spirit also has come into the church. Lower moral standards now has invaded the church. And we think it's all right. Now, this is not my illustration, but I think it'd be a good one to give right now. Jack, would you help me? I need some other fellow to help me, whoever. Taylor, come here. You can help me. But Jack, will you bring your Bible, please? Get your Bible and just lay it right here on the pulpit. This is not my illustration, but I've seen it years ago, and I'm just going to use it. Some of you seen it, just lay it right there. Now, Brother Jack, you're going to represent. Go this way. And just, no, that's all right. Turn around the other way. Turn that away and stand right beside the Bible. Right there beside it. Okay. And turn that away. Taylor, you turn the same way he is. Okay. You're the Word. You just represent the Word. I got Brother Jack here to represent the Christian church. Now, many of you have seen this probably, but it's a good illustration. It'll show you what's happening. See, the world, and Brother Jack, you're a Christian. You're standing right here on the Bible. Yes, sir. Right there. There's the world. It's over here. It's more wicked. They don't care much about the Bible. They don't care. But as time goes by, the world gets worse. Now, Taylor, take about a couple steps forward. Brother Jack, what's happened in Christianity is take a couple steps. Same distance. See, that's what the church says. That's what the Christian says. It's the same distance. Take another couple. Jack, take a couple. That's what I hear all the time. Well, I'm a lot better than what the world does. You know what? I mean, after all, the world wants to wear their skirts part up here, but I'm wearing mine right here. It's all right. See, this is what's happening to the church. All right, now I want you to look. Where is the Bible? It has never moved. Never has. And all we hear nowadays is, oh, well, you know, we're a lot better than the world are. We're not like the world. But we're a long way from where the Bible is. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, thank you, fellas. Now listen, that's exactly what's happening. You see, we've let the world standards invade the church. We're not supposed to go by the world standards. We're supposed to stick with the Bible. Amen. Amen? So why in the world are we out here dressing like the world dresses, acting like the world acts, going where the world goes? Why? Because they still think they're a little bit better than the world, but they've come a long way from the Bible. Amen? See, we got to get back to the old standards. We got to get back to the old paths. And them old paths are the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? You see, can you take your life and what you're doing and by the Bible show that that's how you're living? Or do you just look ahead and say, you know what? I'm better than them. You see, understand what's going on? We got to get back to the old paths. Doing what the Bible says. Not only that, we need to get back to the old paths of honoring the Lord and keeping His commandments. And I won't spend much time on this, but I want to tell you something. We know we don't get saved by keeping the commandments of God, because the Bible tells us, Jesus told us that we couldn't. We break one of them, we broke them all. But I want to tell you something. When you get saved, the commandments of God are still the commandments of God. It is still right to not have another God before you. It is still right to not have idols. Amen? And there's all kinds of idols in this world. We could spend a lot of time on that. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Do you still think that's still true? I remember a fellow who got saved. Most of you remember Bob Carr. Most of you remember Bob got saved. Rough old character. One of the roughest characters you'll ever see. And he used to use the name of God in vain all the time. It was his standard talk. But he got saved. Came to me and he said, you know, Brother Ross, it still slips out once in a while. But he said, I'm working on it. And you know what I said to him was, I said, just keep working on it, because the reason it still slips out once in a while is you just let up a little bit. But you know what I'm thrilled with? I said, Brother Bob, you know you shouldn't. And he got where he didn't. He was still a rough old character, was till he died. But he quit cursing, quit doing those kind of things that he used to do. See, it's not right to do those things. The commandments of God are still the commandments of God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. See, Brother Ross, we don't honor the Sabbath day. No, there's a wonderful thing there. That's where the Seventh-day Adventists got it all wrong. You see, under the law, the Israelites, on the first day of the week, worked. They worked on what we call Sunday. Worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, they rested. They work and then rest. Jesus come along and paid the cost and said, we're going to gather now on Sunday. You're going to rest, then work. Big difference. See, we come into rest by the grace of God, and then we work because we are saved. Amen? They was working and then resting. We don't do that. We thank God that because of Jesus, we can rest in Him and then go out and work. Now, I'm not even just talking about physical work. I'm talking about work for God. We work, you see. We don't work for our salvation. Amen. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. Did you know that still is true? I mean, that's a good commandment. It's scriptural. Sure. Did you know thou shalt not kill is right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's lying if you didn't know. Thou shalt not covet. Did you know those are still good commandments that God wants us to keep? You don't get to heaven because you try to keep them. But they're still right to keep because they're the commandments of God. Amen? Now we need to get back to the old path. The old path of wholehearted surrender and dedication to God. We need to see in all seriousness. The Bible talks about Peter was following afar off. I'm afraid a lot of us are following afar off. We're not dedicated like we should be unto the Lord. You know, when it comes to the call of God, as I mentioned earlier, I want you to listen to me. The call of God, we see very few that step out and answer the call. Now, I don't believe God is not calling. I don't believe that for a minute. Some people say, well, I don't feel the call. Why don't you offer yourself? All I can do is tell you about my call. I felt like I was an ignorant, dumb person, didn't know much. God reached down and put his hand on me and called me. And I, in a backyard one night, 1970, stood in our backyard in Brazil, Indiana, because God had been working so hard on me and dealing with me, and I was getting frustrated, and I got out in the backyard and screamed at God and said, "What do you want?" Only I didn't say it that quiet. I was not mad at him. I just didn't know what to do. Within 2 weeks, he bore witness with my heart. He wanted me to preach the gospel. Now, I want to say something to you. I'm just telling you. There was never one time in my life that I said, "God, you know, I just don't want to do this." I didn't think I had a choice. I'm serious. He called, and I didn't think that I even had a choice to say no. I just thought, if he called, that's what you got to do. It's what you do. And so I just began working toward the call of God. And that's a long story, but I'm just simply saying to you, listen, there is people that God is calling and they're not listening. And they won't hear. They've got the world's attainments on their mind. And they won't listen. But we need young men to answer the call to preach the gospel. We need it. We need churches started all over this country. Now, don't you do it if you don't mean business with God. But what do you have to do, Brother Ross? Just be willing. God will take care of the rest. Just say yes to the Lord. You say, maybe he hadn't called me yet. Then offer yourself to the call of God. Wouldn't it be better to build God's kingdom than Pharaoh's? That's what happened to the Israelites. They went out to build Pharaoh's kingdom, built the cities, instead of doing the work of God. I say to you, it's much better to build God's kingdom than it is this world's kingdom. Amen? So offer yourself. Why don't you come to an old-fashioned altar and with a heart that says, "Here I am. Whatever you want, God, here I am. Just tell me." And just offer yourself. May not tell you right then, but offer yourself. Amen? We need that. We need some old-hearted dedication and surrender to the Lord. We need also, and we'll move on fairly quickly here, we need the old path of raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible speaks of children as arrows in a quiver. The reason it's an arrow is because an arrow is straight. And let me tell you something, it's a lot of work from a parent's standpoint to turn out a straight arrow. I don't want to say it isn't impossible. I'm not saying it's that difficult, but I'm saying that's what God wants, because when you turn that arrow loose, it goes straight. And that's what God wants. He wants you to raise your children and our children for the Lord, not for this world. Amen? Not for this world, for the Lord. For the Lord's use, an arrow that he can use. But what has happened, instead of the church changing the world has changed the church. I heard, again on that Fox News thing, interesting. They made a statement, I don't know whether you knew it or not, you probably did, but about a few weeks ago or something, they had a test in Indianapolis and in cities across this country that was, if a nuclear bomb would go off in that city, what would they do? And they had a mock thing and did this in different cities, and Indianapolis was one of them. Statement came from the United States government, Stanford University and another university worked with the United States government, and they came out with this report. It is not if a nuclear bomb will hit one of our cities. It's when. No, it's when. That's what they said. Now, I realize everything they say is not for sure, but I want to tell you, that's what their findings was. It's going to happen. Now, I'm saying to you is this, we just better get busy doing everything we can just to get God's work done. You know what? You and I would be saved if that happened. But folks, this terrorism thing is serious business. And God is allowing his hand to be lifted as far as judgment on America. If you can't see that, then please open your eyes. You understand what I'm saying? We need to get back to the old paths and walk in them and do them. Amen? We just need to trust God, have faith in the true and living God. Rita Weddle, this morning on the way out, her and JR, she said she went to the funeral of this young girl that... was killed, the Gilbert girl. She went to the funeral, and she said in Shackamack High School, and she figures there was maybe 1,000 people there. I don't suppose maybe she knows for sure, but there was multitudes of people there. Said the man that was preaching it got up. He had a Bible, but he never did open it. He told stories. And she said he didn't even ever pray. He certainly didn't tell anybody how to be saved. That subject was not brought up. Just told some stories. Supposedly a man of God. I guess she asked him, "Are you a pastor?" And he said, "Yes, somewhere in Linton." She wasn't sure where that was at. Supposedly a man of God would get up and have an opportunity to preach to a 1,000 or 900 or whatever there was, and not even tell them how to be saved. One of the greatest opportunities you can have is at a funeral. You do everything you can to be a comfort and a help to the family and the people. You do that. It's right to do that. But you also tell them the greatest comfort is knowing Jesus. And you tell them how to be saved. I've had multitudes, I don't want to say multitudes, but many, many people saved at funerals. Indicated that they was receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's a wonderful opportunity. Now, folks, that's the kind of day we're living in. We're living in a day, like he said back here, where the priest and the prophet was dealing falsely. This is serious business. I'm just saying to you, we need to get back to the old-fashioned, just old-fashioned trust in the true and the living God. Love him. Walk with him. Trust him for your every need. I've had it a habit of my life throughout my day. I've learned to trust God and thank God for the little things. I'll go out and get in my car and I'll say, "Father, thank you for giving me this car. And thank also, Father, that you allowed me to have gas to put in it so I could go." And I've even said to him, Lord, it's a hot day, and thank you for the air conditioning you put in it. That may sound funny to you, but it isn't to me. I just want to thank him. Amen. Thank him for everything throughout the day. Lord, thank you, yes, for the food and those kind of things, but thank you for just the basic things of life. A place to live, a bed to sleep in. If we'll become a thankful people, it'll change our whole life. Now, I'm just saying to you, let's get back to the old paths. And what are they? They're the Bible. Base your life on the Bible. Amen? Live according to the Bible, what the Bible says. So whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. When you get up of a morning, what you do when you get up of a morning should glorify God. What you put on should glorify God. What you say should glorify God. You know, it's not wrong. It is not wrong to rebuke evil. That is right and proper. I told you this morning, sometimes I get that, but a fellow said to me one day, he said, you know, you have no right to say I'm doing right, I'm doing wrong. I said, yes, I do, because the Bible says you're doing wrong, and I have a right to say so. You may not take it, you may not like it, but I have a right to say so. I don't work for you, I work for him. And I have a right to rebuke evil, and will do so. We need some of the old paths of rebuking of evil. When it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. So I'm just saying to you folks, let's get back to the old paths. Let's get back to the Bible. If it's not biblical, it's wrong. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your wonderful grace and goodness, and help us, oh God, help us. Father, help us to just get back to the old paths. You called Israel back so they could find rest for their souls. Lord, that's what we need. We need rest for our souls. We need to get back to the old paths and walk them no matter what anybody says. So we pray tonight, if there's a need here tonight, if there's anyone here without Christ, certainly, Father, help them be convicted of their need and that they'd be willing to come and receive Christ and be saved. But also we as Christians, Father, there's a need tonight. You work on our hearts. Help folk to do accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen.